verse number 8. Luke chapter 2, verse number 8. If you're keeping notes with me, I'm preaching on verses 8 through 20. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. They're in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there is with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. It came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. If you'll notice a phrase in verse number 17, it's the closing three words of that verse. The title of my message in these verses today, it's the words concerning this child. Concerning this child. I want to pray with you and preach to you on that subject concerning this child this morning. Father, bless this time. Thank you for your goodness to us. We ask that you'll receive glory and honor. If there's anything in our hearts and lives that's hindering you and displeasing to you, would you forgive us, remove it, get it out? I pray today if somebody's come to this service but has never come to Christ, may today be the glorious day where they accept Jesus as their Savior. We who have been saved, help us to understand these thoughts. May we apply them to our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. In the opening part of this same chapter, we read how Mary gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. You know, it's a sad statement to consider that there was no room for the Son of God in the inn. You know, even today, there's a lot of people that still have no room for them, for Him, in their hearts, in their homes. Just by means of introduction, let's not let this be the case in our life. You know, there's several events, several truths in this chapter here that we could focus on, and several events that surround the timing of His birth. But the Lord has laid on my heart this story before us this morning, the story which the shepherds are watching over their flocks by night. And as we walk through these verses, and that's what we're going to do, just walk through these verses together, we see this whole story centers around this baby, the arrival of baby Jesus in a manger many years ago. It's this child that we're to consider today. By the way, if you don't consider this child, you've got problems. There's no doubt about it. We all need to be considering this child, the Christ child, the Lord Jesus Christ. There are three things I want to give you today. Let me check my notes and make sure I didn't just lie to you there. Yes, there are three things I want to give to you. Three major things with several things underneath. We'll be out of here by supper time. Don't worry about it, okay? First thing I want you to notice with me today is notice the message. Now, this is found in verses 8 through 12. Now, I'm going to read it again. I will not read it again because I've already read it, but you can read some of these verses as I point them out to you. On this particular night, there were shepherds abiding in the field watching over their flock. An awesome event took place. The Bible says the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. Now this sight caused the shepherds to be, and I quote, sore afraid. Then the angel began to speak to them. This is the message, verses 8 through 12. And it's this message concerning this child that we hear this angel give that I want us to consider this message just by point number one today. First of all, as we look at the message, number one under this, letter A, we hear the message that the angel gave, first of all, was fear not. We see this in verse 10. You know, when this angel appeared to these shepherds, it terrified them. Now, it's hard for us to think about this because we're not the shepherds. You have never seen an angel that you know of. Amen. I didn't say you've never seen an angel, but you've never seen one that you know of. In other words, this angel just appeared and it scared the living daylights out of them, whatever that means. May I say this to you? It'd also scare us if that happened right now in our midst, okay? It terrified them. But you know the first thing the angel told them? First thing, fear not. You know, that's a blessing. Now just think with me here. This angel had come to bring a message. Just listen to me here. This angel had not come to bring a message of destruction and damnation. No, no. He had come to bring a message of hope. They did not need to fear. The angel had come to give them comfort. First message, fear not. Secondly, letter B, he said, I bring you good tidings of great joy. This is also found in verse number 10. The angel told these shepherds that his message was not one of judgment, but one of great joy. You know what the word joy there means? It means calm delight. It also means cheerfulness. As one commentator put it, said, the way to pardon and peace with God was about to be thrown open to all mankind, and that is a cause of great joy. Number one message, fear not. Number two message, good tidings of great joy. Number three message, which shall be to all people. We see this in verse number 10. The message of great joy was for all people. That's what the angel said. In other words, this message was not just for Jew. This message was also for Gentile. The baby that was just born was not only born just for a certain group of people, but he was born for all people. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know what I'm glad of today? I am glad today that I don't have to look at a certain group of people and say, he didn't come for you. I'm glad it makes no difference the race, it makes no difference the country, it makes no difference the social status, it makes no difference who they are, who I am, who you are, who they are. This child came for us. He came for everybody. He came for the entire world, Jew and Gentile alike. This is all the message, fear not. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Number four doesn't stop there. Verse 11, notice it, for unto you is born this day. In other words, he said it's for all people in verse 10. Then he narrowed it down to the shepherds and said, he was born for you. You know, notice how the angel said this joy would be for all people in verse 10. And in this verse, he speaks directly to the shepherds and he included them personally. You know, we can rejoice that God loves the masses, the multitudes. But let us understand that the masses are just simply a lot of individuals in it. You know what I'm glad of? I'm glad God loves us. But I'm also, that includes, he loves me. He's an individual God. Think about the shepherds, these shepherds here. Now, this is really another message, so I'm just going to just kind of paraphrase some things here. The work of a shepherd, back here during this day, these shepherds that this awesome sight appeared to, listen to this, the work was dirty and hard. This work required the men to be away from home for long periods of time as they searched for places to graze their flocks. Now, listen to me. These men were often crude, often vile. They were known for their sinful lives and their evil ways. Not all of them, but just in general. Shepherds were often considered ceremonially unclean because of the duties their occupation required of them. Their work prevented them from regular attendance at the temple where they could be cleansed. As a result, these men were considered the lowest of the low. They were the lowest of the low. Of course, it may have been these very men who tended the lambs that would one day be used in the temple sacrifices, yet it was these men that heard the glad tidings first. It's interesting here that it was these men who received the message of peace from the angel of the Lord first. It wasn't kings. It wasn't magistrates. It wasn't the uppy-up. No, it was the down and out. Isn't that just like God, friends? No matter who you are, makes no difference who you are. If you're a king or if you're a pauper, it makes no difference if you're a king or a shepherd back in this day. Whoever you are, this message of great joy is for you. It's for you. He goes over nobody. He's not going to say, I died for that person, but I didn't die for that person. That's not my God. Amen. My God died for every single individual on planet Earth that's ever lived and ever will live. He loves the world, but he also loves the individual. Don't ever swallow the lie that nobody loves you. Nobody cares about you. Nobody wants you. May I say this to you? That may be true from other human beings, but that will never be true from God. God loves you today. He died for you today. He wants you today. What a message. It doesn't end there. In verse number 11, it says, a Savior, Christ the Lord, is born. This is all the message. You know what the word Savior means? It means deliverer. Christ means the anointed Messiah. Lord means the master, the supreme in authority, the controller. So get this, the deliverer, the Messiah, the master, supreme controller has just been born. Put all this together and we see how the angel announced to those shepherds that a baby boy had been born that was the one who would deliver them from sin. I'm talking about the Messiah they were waiting for, the supreme ruler of the universe. The angel was telling them that the baby boy lying in a manger was God come down to earth. Matthew 1:23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. That's the message. The message that night concerning this child, the message was, don't fear. It's great joy. He's born for all people, and he's also born for you. And who is he? He's the supreme controller of the universe. He's Messiah who's come down to earth to deliver you from your sin. What a message. What a message. Number two, not only do we see the message, but secondly, we see the multitude. This is found in verses 13 and 14. After the angel told the shepherds this great message, and after the angels told the shepherds that they would find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, the Bible says in verses 13 and 14, suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude, there it is, the word multitude, a multitude of the heavenly host. This means, look it up. You know what it means? The multitude. It means that there was a large number, a throng, belonging to or coming from the sky. That's what it means. In other words, they weren't from earth. They were from somewhere else. That's who showed up that night. This was an army of angels that appeared together. And when this army of angels appeared together, what were they doing? They were praising God. And they were saying some things. Now let's look at what they said. What did they say? Verse 13 and 14, focus on verse 14 here. The first thing they said was glory to God in the highest. This is what they said. You know what the word glory means? It means honor, worship, and praise. All, look here please, all praise belongs to God. Even in the highest. However high glory can go, that's where God deserves to be praised. I like what one commentator said. Said, if the heavenly host so glorified God for the birth of the Redeemer of the world, What cause have men to adore the infinite mercy and love thus displayed toward them? It was for them that God gave His only begotten Son. He gave Him not for the angels, who therefore have no advantage from it, except that in this glorious event, as in a mirror, they beheld this infinite love of God. How much more then should we rejoice that Almighty God hath borne such love to us, that He has so loved us, His sinful creatures on earth, that He gave for our salvation His only begotten Son. Let this speak to you. The angels were glorifying God for the Christ child. But He wasn't born for them. You understand what I'm saying to you? They got this excited, and He wasn't even born for them. Now, if they got that excited and gave God all the glory and the highest for sending the Christ child, the Messiah, for God coming down to earth, and He didn't even do it for them, how much more should we glorify Him? How much more should we praise Him? How much more should we give Him our life? Because He didn't do it for them, He did it for us. Amen this morning. He did it for me. He didn't do it for them angels. But yet them angels couldn't help but just glorify God. Glory to God in the highest. They didn't stop there. They went on to say this. On earth, peace. Goodwill toward men. Wow. You know, we hear these things around Christmas time. Even hear it sung. Well, we've heard it so often that it's just kind of become usual. May I say this to you? If those angels had appeared and said judgment, damnation, condemnation on earth, they would have been right. Because that's what we deserve. But on that night when the Christ child is born and the heavenly host appeared and God gave them a message to tell those shepherds, He said, here's what I want you to tell them. On earth, peace. Goodwill toward men. That's a good time right there, even if it's silent in your heart, to say thank you, Jesus. Peace means quietness, quiet. It means rest. It also means set at one again. Not set at one, but set at one again. See, man was created at one with God. Man fell into sin and was thus separated from God. So God came from earth to be born of the virgin to set us at one again with Him. To bring us back together with Him. To give us a peace, a quietness, a rest inside of our heart. You know what goodwill means? It means delight and good pleasure. You know what God's will is for your life? Good. He's looking at you with delight. He wants to look at you with delight, not damnation. He wants to look at you saying peace, not condemnation. This is the message of the multitude concerning this child. What a tremendous blessing this is to meditate on. The baby wrapped in swaddling clothes was God's expression of love and His expression of goodwill for sinful man, and had come to set sinful man and the holy God at one again. Through that baby boy lying in a manger, sinful man could be reconciled back to God and be at peace with God. May I say this to you? That's why church membership can't help you. That's why the baptistry cannot help you. That's why turning over a new leaf cannot help you. That's why doing the best you can cannot help you. Because one sin means you're at enmity with God. You're the enemy of God. And only God is sufficient to pay for that sin. And that Christ child that was born many years ago was born as God's expression of goodwill toward us. He wants to have goodwill toward us. He wants to give us peace. He wants to give us rest. He wants to set us at one again. This is what the multitude of the heavenly host said. Isaiah 9:6 put it this way, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's who He is. Colossians 1:20 puts it this way, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things on earth, in earth, or things in heaven. In other words, that baby was born to die. He was born to shed His precious, holy, sinless blood, because that sinless blood would reconcile us back to God, make us at peace once again with God. Ephesians 2:13 to 16 puts it this way, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to making Himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Number one, the message. Number two, the multitude. Number three, let me talk to you for a few minutes about the men. The men are the shepherds here. And this is found in verses 15 through 20. This is the third major thing we see in these verses. Going back just to review, the message that came to them that night from the angel was, don't fear. I bring you good tidings of great joy. That's for all people, and unto you He's born. And who it is He's a Savior. He's the Messiah. He's Christ. He's the Master. He's the supreme in authority. He's the controller. He's God come down to earth. The multitude appears with that angel that night. They're just glorifying God, and they're saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. When these men heard this, and after the angels went away from them, this is you and me right here. You ready? The men are us. Let me give you several things. In other words, imagine now that the angel has talked to us. He's given us that great fivefold message. The heavenly host appears. There they are glorifying God. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Poof, they're gone. You with me? What about these men? Let me give you several things. Number one, they believe the message. We see this in verse 15. Note in this verse how there's no hint of hesitation at all from these shepherds. No hint at all. They said, and I quote, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing, look at it, which is come to pass. Not which may be. Not which might be. They said, let us go to Bethlehem and see what has come to pass. Don't you see this? You know what this tells me? They didn't doubt it. They believed it. They believed the message. They simply believed the message from the angels. Mark 11:22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. May I say this to you? That message was true whether they believed it or not. That message was true whether they went to Bethlehem or not. But it's great to read how they said, let's go to Bethlehem and see which is come to pass. They believed it. Number two, they acted on it. They acted on their belief. You know, it's one thing to say you believe it. It's another thing to prove it. Amen. In other words, verse number 16, these shepherds did not only say they believed, they proved it by the way they acted. Their belief governed their action. Look here, please. Show me how you live, and I'll show you what you believe. Did you hear what I just said? Show me how you live, and I'll show you how you really believe. Because true belief affects behavior. That's a fact. True Bible faith manifests itself in the way we act. They proved they believed by going with haste to find the baby lying in a manger. James 2:17 and 18 says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Don't get confused. That doesn't mean you have faith because you work. It means this, true faith works. Amen. If you say you believe, it will affect your behavior. May I say this to you? If there's a rattlesnake up here, it's not me now, okay? If there's a rattlesnake right there, you say, I believe that thing can hurt me. I'm going to go pet it. Let me tell you what that means. My actions just condemned what I say I believe. If I believe that thing's going to hurt me, you better get right. Listen to me, friends. I'm jumping out that window probably right now. My actions follow my belief. You understand that? Yes or no? I didn't get a grunt from anybody there. Amen. I like that. I'm telling you that these shepherds, they believe the message. How do we know they did? Because they got up and went to Bethlehem. You see it? I'm telling you, they acted on their belief. Number three, they told others about the baby. Look at verse number 17 and 18. These verses tell us that these shepherds did not keep what they heard about the baby to themselves. They didn't keep it to themselves. But rather, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Their witnessing caused all that heard to wonder at these things. In other words, it made them marvel and admire their story. That's what the word wonder means. Others wondered at these things. That means they marveled, they admired the story. We learn here that we are not to keep the glorious message concerning this child to ourselves. We are to spread it abroad everywhere we go. The Bible says in Mark 16:15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Let me ask you a question. How terrible would it have been for these shepherds who were privileged to get the story and see what they saw? How terrible would it have been for them just to sit on that and never tell others? Folks, I know I emphasize this over and over. And look here, please, I'm not going to stop either. I'm not stopping. Because this is biblical, it's Bible, it's the will of God. If we are not spreading the news of salvation to others, we are not right with God. Notice I didn't say you, I said we. Let me tell you why there's so little witnessing going on. Several reasons in my opinion. Number one of them is fear. People are just afraid. Look here, please. This may shock you. Look here. Join the crowd. There are times when I want to give a track out, and I'm telling you, it's like, your pastor. By the way, last I checked, I'm still just flesh. A lot more flesh right now, but anyway, still just flesh. Just to kind of lighten it up here a little bit, joy. My 4-year-old. I was exercising this week, the second time in probably 3 months, but anyway. I had a shirt on that was a little snug. She walked up to me, Joy. This is not my sermon notes, friends, okay? I'm getting off the... She walked up to me. She said, Daddy, you look like you swallowed a watermelon. Direct quote. Brother Hayes, that's a direct quote right there. You know, they say black makes you look thinner, so I'm wearing black today. May I put it this way? Don't get me tickled now, friends. You got me tickled. May I say this to you? What we love, now let this help you, okay? What we love and what we're consumed with, we talk about. Think about that. What you go after, your desire, what you really love, and what you desire out of life. In other words, your hunger, your passion. Everybody's got a passion, okay? You talk about what you're passionate about. We all do. So I ask you a question. When's the last time you told somebody about Jesus? By the way, that's not said to make us feel good. If you go to a church and all they do is pat you on the back and say, everything's okay. You're sweet, the devil's sweet, and everybody else is sweet too. You better get out of that church, friends. I'm telling you right now, they couldn't help but tell people about Jesus. God help us to be like that. Let me give you a final thing about them. They glorified and praised God for being included. This is found in verse 20. When all was said and done, these shepherds glorified and praised God for being included. They were glorifying and praising God for what they heard. See what I'm saying? They heard it. They saw it. They were included. And only by God's grace did they get to experience that. And they wanted to give Him praise for His goodness to them. You know, in the same way, we who are in the family of God should glorify and praise God for including us. You glad He included you? Hey, I'm telling you, friends, I'm homesick. There's something inside of a child of God's heart that says, man, I want to get home. I want to get home. I guarantee you something. Thank God that we're going to see our saved loved ones again. Praise God for that. Thank God we're going to a city where there's no devil, no sin, no curse. Isn't that going to be wonderful? But there's no question that when we get there, there's only one thing that we're going to be consumed with. And that is, I want to see Jesus. I want to see God. Someday, some glorious day, we will see God. Even in the Beatitudes, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I'm telling you, the only reason I have that assurity in my heart. I have that hope. And I'm not talking about hope like we use it. Well, maybe it's no, a Bible hope is an assured thing. It's going to happen. That's biblical hope. It's not a might be. It's a for sure thing. The only reason I've got that hope in my heart is because He included me. If you're here today and you're outside the family of God, He wants to include you too. May I say this to you, verses 8 through 20? What a story. What a story. When Christ was born, an angel appears to the shepherds, gives them a message of that peace, hope, salvation, joy, grace, and mercy was lying in a manger just down the road, wrapped in swaddling clothes. The heavenly host appeared in the sky, announcing glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. These men believed the message, proved it by going to find the Christ child. And when they found the baby, they just told others about Him and started glorifying and praising God that God included them. Thank God for the birth of Jesus Christ. Through Him, we who are born at enmity with God can be made one again with God. The birth of baby Jesus was God's announcement to the world that He has good intentions. Isn't that precious? Peace, goodwill toward men. In other words, the baby lying in a manger was God telling the world, I have good intentions for you. May I say this to you? That is grace, friends. That's mercy. That's my God. He says, I don't want to condemn you. I don't want to send you to hell. I don't want you to go to hell. My intention for you is goodwill, good intention. That's what I want for you. You say, how do you know it? He was born in Bethlehem. And he was born to die. Let us believe him. Let us accept him. Let us tell the world about him. And let us praise him for including us. Do you understand this? I'm telling you, friends. May I say this to you? No, I'm not talking about my message. I'm talking about these verses, this story. That's good stuff right there. That's good stuff. So as we come to Christmas, Christmas Eve, Christmas, all of the above, let's not lose sight of why we're celebrating. God help somebody who doesn't get what they want and complains about it. It's not about us, friends. It's about the one who loved us so much that he left heaven for us. Because he has goodwill toward us. Good intentions. Amen. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, would you bless today? Help us to understand. Help us to get it. And may the will of God be done. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're preparing for the invitation. Simple today. Number one, this Christ child that was born many years ago in Bethlehem, God's expression of love and goodwill toward men, that if you accept him, it's heaven. You reject him, it's hell. Have you accepted him? Have you been made one again with God? May I say this to you? Nothing or nobody can help you with that except Jesus Christ. That's it. That's it. That's why he said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's the only way. He's not one of many ways. He's the one and only way. He was born to die so that when we die, we may live. They're beginning to play through softly. I ask you this question. Do you know him? Do you know you're saved? Do you know you're born again? Do you know you've trusted Christ and Christ alone? If you're here today and you say, Jody, I cannot say that. I cannot say I know I'm a Christian. I know I'm saved. But I'll tell you one thing. I believe God is speaking to me. I believe the Lord's speaking to me right now. And I know what I need is to be saved. I know what I need is to trust Christ as my Savior. And I realize that I cannot do this by myself. I cannot be good enough to be at one with God. It takes the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I get it. I get it. And I want to be saved. I don't know if I am, or maybe you know you're not. But you say, I want to be saved. This is what I want. This is me. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, but I want to be sure. I really do. If that's you, without drawing attention to yourself, I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to embarrass you. But if you need to be saved, you need to trust Christ. And you know it. And you desire to. Anybody like that, would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Anybody at all? You say, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. But I sure would like to be. I sure would like to know the Lord. I'm not sure if I do, but I sure would like to. And let me ask you this question. You say, Jody, I'm a Christian. I ask you a question. Are you telling others about him? I'll guarantee you this. If your heart's not right with him, you're not. You're not. But if you say, Jody, I know that this is the will of God for me to share my faith. Let me give you some ways that you can do that. One of the easiest ways you can do it is to invite people to church. That's one of the easiest ways you can do it, is invite people to church. You can do it by giving gospel tracts out. I encourage you to start with what we call your friend, your friends, your relatives, your associates, and your neighbors. Your Jerusalem, in other words, those that you have an impact with and an influence upon. Start there. You say, Jody, how do I get this burning desire to do that? May I encourage you, just fall in love with Jesus. Get in His Word, pray, and ask God to give it to you. And the Lord will help you by telling other people about Him. Or maybe God's speaking to you today about just glorifying and praising Him because He included you. Isn't that a great thing to do at Christmas time? Just to praise God for including you? For including me? Yes, He included the world, but that includes me, friends. That includes you. So today I'm asking you, if you want to come because there's somebody you're concerned about their salvation, or if you want to come and just say thank you, God, for including me, whatever it is, if you just want to come and praise God at the altar, that's a great reason to come. Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take it, use it, I pray. May your will be done now in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary singing. If you want to come and just praise God for including you, if you want to come and bring somebody to the altar, they may not even be here, but you're praying for their soul, I want you to come. As Brother Gary sings, you come.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessings fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
You look this way. This is Carter. Carter's our little buddy around here, no doubt about it. Mom and Daddy standing with him. A few months ago at home, they had the privilege of leading him to Jesus Christ. And we're so happy for him. No doubt. Have you happy for him? Say an amen. He's 6 years old. That's really good. It's outstanding. And I hope you're excited about Christmas, no doubt about it. Yes, you're excited about Christmas. Yeah. Yeah, it's great. It's great. You keep your daddy in line, okay? You make him behave, all right? We're so happy for you. This is a precious thing, friends. Yeah, you know that. We're honored to have you all here with us. And God bless you. It means that little boy is going to heaven with you. And that is a blessing. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's exciting business right there. No doubt about it. What a precious time for a mom and dad to lead their child to Jesus Christ. And that's such a blessing. We're so happy for him, excited for him. That's a thrilling thing. Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Let me encourage you. Don't eat too much. And all leftovers, if you'll bring them to my house, I'll do what I can to get rid of them. Okay, that'll be good. Let me remind all the visitors who fill out a visitor's card, if you'll please take your card out through the lobby, drop it off at the Welcome Center. We've got a special gift for you. Please take advantage of that. And all family members coming back to visit, thank you for being here today. God bless you. And let's remember the reason for the season. His name is Jesus. Let's give Him praise today. Okay? Very, very good. Outstanding. I'm going to ask Brother Burton Martin, sir, if you wouldn't mind to lift your voice and pray. Thank you for being, again, let me remind, no evening service. Excuse me. No evening service tonight, okay? No evening service. Everything back to normal next Sunday. Brother Bert, sir, please.